Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we get into your word this evening, I'm asking that the Holy Spirit open our hearts, minds to be receptive until, Father, we can learn and gain more knowledge and wisdom of this your word, Father, so that we can be of greater help to those that are in need, both spiritually and physically. Father, now use us in great and mighty ways. And be with us throughout this study so that your words are not mine, Father, but yours. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So if you got everything ready for communion, get bread. You know that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And he gave thanks. And he broke that bread. And he gave and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So take your bread. Get your cup. And after the same manner also, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Drink your cup. Or as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And I thank the Lord for this day and the things that He let me get done today and the things that were done for me this day. And I give him all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And I do so in Jesus' name. Once again, amen. All right. We're going to be in chapter 15, book of Acts. We're going all through now. A lot of these books are quite lengthy, but they've all got a lot in them. We still got quite a few more books to go yet in this book of Acts, or chapters of it, in this book of Acts. Because it's 28. So we're just a little over halfway through. Now, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension with them, they determined that Paul, Barnabas, and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now, you know, we do know that during the early decade of the church, of this church age, and the founding and setting up of the first churches, especially from really from the beginning of Paul's ministry, because Paul was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles, which the Jews did not like at all. And you see, with the early decades of the church, some professing Jews who had lived under Judaism disrupted the church by saying that no one could be saved apart from the law, and especially circumcision. These Judaizers came from Jerusalem proclaiming their message, and the message of salvation involving works is as old as the need of salvation itself. And Jesus and the apostles clearly teach that salvation is by God's grace through faith alone. You see, they was trying to tell the early church that they had to do certain works in order to be saved. But that's not so. We're not saved by works. We're saved by the grace of Almighty God. And in order to get that done, we have to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of our sins and be forgiven through and by him. Because there is no other way. The Lord Jesus is the way of salvation. And there's all kinds of scripture backing that up. But they followed Paul from place to place, trying to undo what he had done, because they was against everything he was really doing. Now here in verse 3, and bring brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles and they caused great joy unto all the brothers. And we're talking here about Paul and Barnabas, because in their establishing the churches and passing by and going to them as they would be on their journey, it was bringing to the Gentiles great joy. You know, to the Gentiles. But these, mainly Pharisees and other Jews, wasn't happy with it at all. And that goes with the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the church also. Now, and the Sadducees, they didn't even believe in the resurrection. Now, 4. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. You see, they, on their journey also, and as they would go to these other churches, they were sharing with them the things that had happened with them as they traveled place to place, which was actually keeping the churches up to date on each other. And that would then and be a good thing for this day and time, because if our churches would really and had been keeping up with each other and knowing what was going on, we probably would not have seen so great a falling away as we have seen happen to our church world. Think about it. Because we are told to be in unity and of one mind. We are all supposed to be teaching the same identical thing, because we are to be teaching the doctrine of this word. No other doctrine, but the doctrine of this word. We don't need these walls built that has caused division among mankind. And that's what has happened. Now, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And you see, Jesus himself, when this first begun, and this deal about circumcision first came up, they were told that the Gentile men did not have to be circumcised. The only circumcision you and I need is the same circumcision that even our women need, and that is a circumcision of the heart, where that old man, sin, is cut out of the heart, removed, and that heart made pure and clean. 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, he rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. 8. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. You see, he is letting the Jews know that God used him, and that was done there at Cornelius and his home, his family and friends that had gathered in. They were the first of Gentiles to be saved and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And it was Peter that the Lord had him to send forth, and it was Peter that went and spoke to them. Now, nine, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. See, he's letting them know God has put no difference between the Gentiles and the Jews. We are all engrafted into God's family, into the family that began with the Jews, God's people. We are adopted and grafted in to that family. Now, purifying their hearts by faith. 10. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But you see, that's what they were wanting to do. They was wanting to make the Gentile people live strictly according to the Mosaic law, when they couldn't and wouldn't. That's why Christ came, because man was not keeping the law. And the Lord, because of his great love, knew there had to be a better way fixed for you and I. And to bring the Gentiles, nations, into believing in him, because they were all idol worship. Now, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they, even as the Jews. To be no difference. Now, and you see, I don't know how the Jewish church is operating today, the Christian church, that is, of the Jews. I haven't heard it. I may get a hold of a couple of friends of mine that are Jewish rabbis and see if I can't find out whether or not the Jewish Christians still believe they have to be circumcised. Because according to the Word of God, you know, when the church time began, we didn't have to be. And to me, when he says there's no difference between us, that meant all of us. Not just the Gentiles, but also the Jewish Christians also. Now, 12. Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barabbas and Paul, or Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. They're still wanting to know exactly what God is doing through Paul and Barnabas with the Gentile people. 13. You know, the primary speaker at the conference, called the Jewish Council, was Peter, Paul, Barnabas, and James. And Peter begins by relating how God had clearly placed Cornelius and the other Gentiles, and with him apart from any work of the law. In fact, Peter acknowledged that not only do the Gentiles not need to become like Jews to be saved, but controversially, we the Jews need to be saved as they, the Gentiles. And the works of the law for salvation will not even aid a Jew. Now, the works of the law is not going to aid them. That's why we pray for Israel today, seeking the Holy Spirit to work among them and letting them know that we do stand with them and we want to see them have peace, but mostly that they come away from the law and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah, which a lot of them, even to this day, has never done. They're still trying to live by the law. All right, now, 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. 14. Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now, 15. And to this agree the words of the prophet. For as it is written, 16. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. James' use of Amos' prophecy concerning Gentiles in God's kingdom does not equate the church with the Messianic kingdom, making them one. James does not say that the church is fulfilling the prophecy, but that what is happening in the church does agree with what will happen later in the kingdom. James further changing Amos' words in that day to after this, by which he may suggest that after the church age, God will restore the kingdom wherein the redeemed Gentiles will fully share God's blessing. The only thing there is we can already fully share God's blessing as well as they, because there is no difference. We've read that. And God's word is true. And it's the same for all of us. It doesn't tell one group to do something and another group not to do that. No. We just read where we are all the same. There is no difference among us. Now, 18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And we know that he has worked from the very beginning, because he's the one who created the heavens and the earth. He created mankind. He has worked with man all the way through. He's worked with them differently in different eras of time. It's always been God working with. He worked with man in the beginning as the Father. And then he worked with man as the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he is with us as the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. But you see, it's all Almighty God. Now, Verse 19. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them from among the Gentiles or turn to God. Let's not be bothered. That's what he's telling the Jewish people. 20. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. 21. For Moses of old times has in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. But you see, that's not to be anymore. We are to be preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. Yes, there are things and messages that God gives us of Moses, and a lot of things he had Moses to do, and how Moses obeyed. 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, and namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. 23. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. Apostles and elders and brothers sends greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and in Syria and Cilicia. 24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law to whom we gave no such commandment. Now they're letting the Gentiles know that these Christian Jews didn't send them with any such message. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And are you really willing today to hazard your life for the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel? You see, that's what we have to be. We have to come to that point of being willing to give our lives for his name and for the word, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of Almighty God. Think about these things. Now, 27. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. We're sending these two with Paul and Barnabas to let you know the words that we are sending, and to let you know we didn't send those others there to tell you you had to keep the law and be circumcised. 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Now here is what they were told in the beginning, really, of the ministry of the church and the Gentile people. That you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare ye well. That's what they were proclaiming to send to the Gentiles, the Jews. Now, 30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. When they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. 31. Which when they had read, they rejoiced for the postulation. 32. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also, themselves, exalted the brethren with many words, and confirmed them. They confirmed them. Now, 33. After they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren, so they are to return now. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. He's took a notion to stay a little longer. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. 36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. The opening events of Paul's second missionary journey begin here. And this journey ends. Think about that. He's going to be traveling now till we get up to about chapter 18 and so on. Now, Verse 37, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname is Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the world. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. They split because of Mark. Been traveling with him, but then when they got to Pamphylia, he split and would not continue on with them. Now Paul did not want to take him on with him any further. But Barnabas took him, and they went to Cyprus. Now they all get back together again later. Everything is all right with them because they are all really men of God. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. In our last verse, and they went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. You see, they really looked out for all of the churches they had found, because this was at the beginning of the church age. And they were the ones that had established these churches as they traveled. A lot of these churches was held in homes. They weren't out here in big sports centers, things that way. No. In multi-million dollar churches? No. A lot of them were actually in homes. But you see, that's how man has changed. For him to go to church now, he wants one of these big multi-million dollar churches to where they're going to tell stories and let him continue living any way he wants to live. And he's not going to get very much of the word of Almighty God. And very little or none of the truth of the word. He's going to get a contradiction of a lot of this word of Almighty God. Now we have come to the end of chapter 16. We will be stopping there for the evening, that we can all be together again come morning and back in to the word of Almighty God. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for this time that we have had together with each other and with you and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. The time that we've been able to spend, Father, in this world, learning more of it. Father, we now pray for Israel, for peace, but even more than that, for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And Father, we ask you to be with us here in this land, in our country, and help us, because this nation has walked so far away from Almighty God and the truth of the word. We pray that those that have walked away and teaching a watered-down version, that they wake up, Father, and repent, so that they can get back into the word as they should be, teaching the truth, Father, as they once were. Now, Father, to remove from office those that have brought all this evil upon us, that are sitting in our higher offices, we're praying that they are removed and that they're replaced by those, Father, that belong to you, that love you, love the Lord, love your church, your people, this land, and will work with us, Father, to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation for which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for each and every one that is a part of this ministry, that hears this ministry, that they can grow stronger in faith, stronger in your love, and walk stronger and closer with the Lord Jesus Christ, and will work with us and help us each and every day to grow stronger. Father, I pray for them that they all be in great health and that they all be safe and in the love of your arms. Now, Father, as we separate, watch over us through this night. Give us rest. But Father, bring us back together again in the morning and back into your word. This, Father, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Have a great, great night.